Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, Dr. Crippen, give it to me in a nutshell.
Well, the premise is quite simple. Take something designed by nature and reprogram it to make it work for the body rather than against it.
You're talking about a virus?
Indeed, yes, in this case, the measles virus, which has been engineered at a genetic level to be helpful rather than harmful. I find the best way to describe it is if you can imagine your body as a highway and you picture the virus as a very fast car being driven by a very bad man.
Why don't you just eat your vegetables?
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 419. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian. I only have one song on my iPod, Dunaway.
Is it Marley? I bet it's Marley. Mm. Oh, hi. We are podcasting on all dating app frequencies from the basement of our mom's house. We will be on the internet every day when the sun is the angriest in the sky. If you are out there, please come inside. The sun will scorch your skin. We can provide cold pizza. We can provide tattered clothing. We can provide free Wi-Fi. If there's anybody out there, anybody, you are not alone. Unless your name is Robert Neville, in which case you are totally alone. You know what you did. So interview. If you are not Robert Neville, please swipe right. We will take good care of you, we promise. Please marry our colony. Anyone, man, woman, dog. But once again, not if your name is Robert Neville. Screw that guy and his stupid dog. Fred, what the hell are you doing down here, Fred? Don't eat our pizza. So help me, Fred. We are legion.
You have a weird knack for this. We got to figure out a way to spin this out into its own thing. It's hard to explain, but
it should be for like every movie, not just the ones we film. Seth. Yeah. Like, you know, we should get like, here's a quick sum up of the long shot. Oh, you're Seth Rogen. Oh, yeah. You're not so good looking. Yeah. I'm Charlize Theron.
Exactly. We'll make it a weekly YouTube thing, animate it. And be like, Endgame with Brian Dunaway.
We'll step three, it. Profit.
Yeah, step three, right, profit. Right. Yep,
bro, this would be from Thanos' perspective instead. Who's my hero, by the way? Yeah. Love that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
He's got the right idea. When I'm stuck on the road behind like 1,000 other cars, I'm kind of thinking, geez, man, maybe Thanos has it right.
Yeah, maybe right. 500 cars would be better than 1,000.
Maybe 500 cars would be better.
Also with us, Randy, he loves Shrek Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Howdy.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I was the last man on Earth?
No.
True story. And you could be too with my Teach Yourself Survival video series. Everything is going to be fine as long as you follow my three key steps. Number one, spend all your time every day cleaning your car. You're going to want to choose the most boring, common sports car you can find, like a Mustang with that dumb hump in the hood that makes it hard to see out when you're driving through the urban wastelands. So keep her clean. Number two, rig up the neighborhood around your house to a bunch of explosives in case you ever have to deal with a zombie attack. But don't make a long-term defensive position like a machine gun nest. That would be too dangerous. Number three, get a dog. Without a dog, you're not going to want to live. Most importantly, train your dog to come. My last client didn't train his dog the command stop and come, and that led to something like 2 years of research getting blowed up.
I never want to hear the phrase teach your dog to come ever again.
I know. I
teach your dog to come.
Red Rocket, Red Rocket. Okay. And finally, with us.
Red Rocket. That's horrible.
It is horrible.
You made it bad.
I made it bad. It wasn't you.
It was fine, and you made it bad.
Yeah, it wasn't you at all. I was in Vegas for 4 days. This is what happened. You come home with a little dirt on you. And with us, finally, Brian, what a waste of eggs and bacon, Ibbot.
Jeez, I know. Especially your good bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of flipped a coin today, and I was thinking, well, not today, yesterday when I was writing this up, I'm thinking, all right, I'm either going to go the route that Brian Dunaway did, which is like, what's my message going to be out?
Right.
Or I'm going to go, now this is a story all about how. And unfortunately, I picked the same route Brian Dunaway went.
No. Fortunately, because I'll take two of these over one of those any day.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, here it is. My name is Brian Ibbot. I'm a survivor living in New York City. I'm broadcasting on all AM and FM frequencies, as well as Sirius XM channels 29, 30, 31, and between Celine Dion songs on the Romantic Moods channel. I can provide food, I can provide shelter, and I can provide security. I'll be out on the South Street Seaport every day at midday when the sun is highest in the sky. After that, you'll find me at the video store where I've set up a bunch of creepy mannequins to talk to. I even set up a really creepy mannequin with a trench coat in the adult section.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to her.
Weird.
From 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., you'll find me at Old Navy trying on performance fleece outerwear. And then I'm going to make my way up to IHOP where they're serving breakfast all day, every day, y'all.
Wow. I would come find you at midday if you that was the message.
Yeah.
So I just want to admit, my second one was a parody Bob Marley song, and I figured I should leave that to Brian Ibbot.
Yeah,
let him sing it.
I'm glad we don't coordinate these things, but I wonder if there's some way of like saying, "All right, Fresh Prince of or the French Prince of Bel Air." I'm gonna do
right.
Now this is a story all about how.
There's nothing wrong with calling it. Totally call it.
Yeah. You always go full Sebulba or whatever his name is.
I do, yeah. I can't do French without making it the really disgusting French guy wearing the way too tight, thin black and white striped T-shirt and a gross cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
It's the right stereotype. It's fine.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, there's no French listeners that would be offended by that at all.
Nah, that'd be fine. Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, and I'm sure many people at home already have, we are talking about I Am Legend, the 2007 action adventure movie with Will Smith and a couple other people. This is my third viewing of the movie. I saw it once on some DVD, we just watched it once, and then I saw it in theaters. And I feel like I needed to make a disclaimer right up front because, and this is probably, again, going to be obvious to some people, but my disclaimer is I, by default, thematically love movies like this. Sure. So I feel like I'm already way in the positive column, even though I know this movie has some problems. I know that it's got some uneven bits. I know that it's, some people can go either way on the creature designs and whether or not those are any good and so on. But I just thematically and kind of already in the same way I am with Waterworld or Mad Max films or whatever, like apocalyptic, everybody's dead, one guy has to survive stuff. Is so up my alley. It so melts my cheese that I just have to say that up front because it's not going to be fair to a more critical look at the film because I already kind of like it on those levels. Does that make sense? I guess.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, I mean you're going to be. It's almost like a Western. You're going to be more inclined, more receptive to the good parts of a Western going in not having seen it.
Yeah,
right?
And more forgiving of the stuff that's broken or not great.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
So I look to you guys for the more,
This is how I feel subjective. About Hobbs and Shaw. I feel so pandered to. Seriously, I feel so pandered to. It's kind of gross. It's like, have you seen all the Fast and the Furious movies, you weirdo? And I'm like, yes, I have.
Then we have the movie for you. Exactly. Tune in.
Yeah, it's
now,
yeah.
I've watched I Am Legend, I Am a lots of times. I didn't watch it just once on the DVD and throw it out in the snow like Scott did apparently. But yeah, I've seen this in many different forms. I've seen it on DVD, Blu-ray, on TV, everywhere, because there's a couple of different takes on this movie that can change it quite severely, especially the second alternate ending.
The alternate ending for sure. Yeah.
Which sticks closer to the book idea than this one did.
Well, oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently the book is a lot more like that ending, and also Omega Man adheres to the to these guys as vampires more than they do zombies. This movie likes to straddle the thing, so they're kind of rage zombies when they're out after you, but they can't be out in the daylight, which is very vampiric. And also it turns out they're a little smarter than we think, which is kind of vampiric, and so I guess they're still sort of vampires.
Like, can we just stop and talk about everything we know about the enemy in this movie? Because it's kind of hard to hold it all in your mind at once, right?
Mm.
So, like, he tells us that they are a small fraction of the people who were infected. Like, most people died, and then a small number were turned into Night Seekers or Dark Stalkers or whatever.
Dark Seekers, yeah.
Right. Dark Seekers.
Oh, yeah, and there was another name that I think was in the book that's like...
Chubby Chaser, is that? No, it's not.
I'll find it. I found it in the trivia. Yeah.
It was. So, yeah. So 90% of the people died just flat out. 10%, around 9% or 10% close to that turned into vampires. And then, there's Will Smith and a couple other people that were not affected at all.
Right.
But I'm asking what else we know about them. So they can not only smell blood, they crave it, right?
Yeah, they want it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They want blood real bad. Yep.
During the day, they cluster in little groups and almost like meditate. Like they're at Coachella.
I mean, in Omega Man, they did more like the books, which they just kind of had hives of them. But they could talk to you and everything. Like
they were right. They were just more like vampire, more like our Hollywoodized vampires.
Right. Yeah, they were like faction.
Before we get too far down the hole of some people's complaints, I personally am okay with a different perspective on a world that was built. I am fine with making them more vampiric, making them faster, making them different. It doesn't bother me. As a matter of fact, if I was such a purist, I would probably hate all the Avengers movies, especially the ones involving Thanos, because it's nothing like the comic books.
Yeah.
So
fair point.
I'm fine with a different perspective, and I enjoy all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, they're closer to the rage virus, 28 days later creatures than true zombies. I mean, they're not zombies. They're not the undead.
Right.
But in this movie, we come dangerously close to breaking like laws of thermodynamics, right? Like these things, as much energy as they put out, they must be consuming an incredible amount of calories every day, every night. Sorry. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know. It feels a little weird.
Mm. And also, if there's only this, you know, I mean, I did think of that. Like, if there's only Will Smith and the dog, where are they getting their sources of I mean, they should be dead by now. This so many
are
years
they eating
into
each other or, you know, or what's going on? They're eating the deer. There's plenty of deer.
Lots of deer, apparently. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought a lot about him as a defensive position, and Manhattan felt way wrong. Like, get on a boat and go somewhere else. You're going to be way easier to defend yourself. Yeah. But at the same time, apparently the zombies aren't getting on boats and coming to Manhattan. So he's actually, like, he needs to collect them every now and then to do tests on them. So this is actually pretty good. It makes some sense.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like the zombies themselves made enough sense. You know what I mean? Like, when one of them is suddenly kind of smart and can build a complicated trap and hide it and shit. Right. Wow. Okay. Maybe this is something else. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I liked the fact that there was a leader. And I was like, ooh, I would really have enjoyed a little setup in the flashbacks to imply that he was somebody we knew, I would understand right. why like his leadership
his former
was
sergeant in, or
right.
something.
Right, right.
Well, back in the day, don't forget in Omega Man and in the book. Well, I say this, I haven't actually read the book, but I know enough about it. There is a leader who is seems to be have superior things right. about him, like intellect right, right. and stuff. So they are lightly brushing that though. They're not. They're barely digging in. And I agree. It would have been fun anyway to get a little more world building for them.
Right.
But I, you know, this is what the third movie in 2 months we've seen with long face yell people.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, very popular during this time, right?
It was
good.
The early aughts, early to mid aughts. Everybody was like, what if their mouths opened unnaturally large?
And the thing Legion is, at some point we're going to have to watch. Maybe.
Yes. It's on right
some
now.
Distance until Legion. Yeah, I know.
But we're also, we're not giving the movie credit for going all in on the horror elements.
Yeah.
Like, sure. So like everyone else in the known universe, last week, Game of Thrones caused me to tune my television settings. And so I was really well put, like, for this movie. Like, I was right on with the blackest blacks and the right contrast to be scared. And it scares you over and over with jump sounds, which I mean you love it or hate it, jump sounds work.
Oh yeah.
By the way, those jump sounds, those screams and things, Mike Patton from Faith No More.
I love that trivia. That was my favorite thing.
Is that true? Really?
It's totally true.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
You want it all, but you can't have it.
Right.
Wow.
He's such a freak.
That boggles my mind. So wait a minute. When the guys were screaming, that's him?
That's him. Yeah.
Wow. I was unsure how they were. I mean, obviously they modulate it and do some stuff to it, but.
Sure.
Jeez.
But it's all like that.
It's really scary. It's a scary sound. And I mean, look, we're talking 2007 mocap and CGI, which was a hell of a lot better than the year before it. But it's, you know, aged a little now, and you can definitely look at it and go, it's a little uncanny valley, a little rubbery looking. It's not exactly right. But
it got complaints even back in 2007 that was like a weak point.
Yeah. And I kind of disagree only because I respect the art form and I think it's a good thing to do with what you've got. Now, could they have? I mean, I try to ask myself, what would be more effective, that or them just getting people dressed up and running fast and doing a lot of shaky
the director, cam? The director said no, because he had people on set that were dressed up and were moving. After a couple of days of shooting, he said, no, not scary enough, not fast enough. I need them to be, jacked up. And so he did some CGI stuff, and it looked better to them.
And Go ahead.
I just want to bring the subjects together because they belong together. The horror elements have to be served by the CGI or whatever, you know, visual effects you're going for. And that the first big attempt at that is in Times Square when he gets ambushed by the lions from the zoo. And I'm sorry, those lions just didn't look real. Mm-hmm. And so the sound scare hits you. And it's terrifying. Like I'm shaking after the loud sound. Mm-hmm. But then seeing them, I'm kind of like grinning, like, "Oh, look at the video game lion."
You know, the things that I'm being exposed to now actually brought those lions back around for me, because I recently watched the Mowgli movie, which
Jungle Book.
Which looks. I guess. It's even more recent than that. It's the one that was just on Netflix, right?
Oh, so there's two of them. There's Jungle Book.
Not the Scarlett Johansson, Trust
no,
in
no.
Me.
Right,
okay.
So we're about to see The Lion King, and it is live action, you know, with CGI elements. And so it's going to be,
it's mostly
stylized.
CGI, by the way.
Yeah, like, it's mostly CGI. It's stylized, right? It's stylized, but there's a point where in my mind, I can still be freaked out by these lions and disassociate it from reality and still be affected.
You are 100% correct. Like there is and it's a fine line, and it's a art in its own, an art form in its own self, its own right, to do this properly. But they always say this about, I mean, back to video games. They always say this about World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft lasts the test of time, and people still play it and love it and like how it looks and are still impressed by it.
And there are some technical improvements over time, but mostly it's because they decided to go stylized from the beginning and not aim for photorealism, which may have been cool in 2004, but very quickly aged terribly because photorealism and our adherence to it is rapidly changing, whereas stylization is just almost eternal. It stays, you know, it's a vision that stays, and you don't have to go, oh, this looks weird, or this doesn't seem right, or whatever. And I think you're right. I think that's 100% true. So this thing kind of got it. They were trying to have it both ways a little bit. There was a style, like the girl that was on the gurney.
Yes, that is where it lost it for me. The the uncanny valley was most apparent. Was the
gurney girl
on the gurney?
Gurney girl.
Butterfly girl.
Yeah, and yeah. she was for some reason. I've seen this movie three times now, twice before this, and I swear, the way the story went, I thought she was the girl. He solved her. She woke up and it was all better. And then all the stuff at the end was her going to the safe place. I forgot all about the girl and the kid. Right. I don't know how I did that. That was
I think there's a little further into the. It seems like I saw as well, like in the alternate endings and stuff, where she got healthier to the point that things are actually communicating. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely always the other woman that we saw in what's her name, Alice Braga, mm-hmm. who played Anna.
Right, yeah. Right.
So it's always been that, but so that might be the confusion.
I don't know what happened there. I was sure that the girl got totally cured and became humanish, and then I couldn't remember how it resolved, but I just was sure that happened. And when it didn't happen, I was like, wait a minute, what do I remember? Or is this an alternate ending?
I had some
ending
Mandela effect with this too. I swear to God, I did not remember the woman and kid either. Like once that happens, like, oh yeah, wow. And this is probably my third or fourth time viewing it. I do have the Blu-ray with the alternate ending, and saw it in theaters. I think I saw it at least twice on the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
maybe just once. But
did we all watch the alternate ending? Did we do that? Because I did.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did not.
You did not. Okay.
I don't care.
I like it better.
I don't care.
I was so overwhelmed by this movie's major trope crime, which was the I don't want to say Deus Ex Machina, but more like last second timing, the last second save, you know, like the 11:59 escape. There were so many of them that I just like, I was tired. I was like, oh, when he's cutting himself down from the trap and he's getting back to the car, like, oh, you know, those dogs are going to get loosed from the sun that the last second before he gets into that car. And when he was like trying to kill himself out on the pier and he's upside down, I'm like, oh, something's going to save him at the last second, right before. And it's like a little woman and a child. No, give me a break. Give me a break.
That actually kind of led me into one of my moments, which I have during lots of movies, is I'm always looking out for, oh, this mark in the movie represents a break for our character's understanding of what's going on. Perhaps he didn't survive that attack in the truck, and perhaps he is turned into a zombie himself, and everything else in the movie is his in his mind. So anytime that something just extraordiary like that happens, always think
that's like, interesting. You don't trust
I wish that
it.
Happened right. more you
yeah.
know
right
yeah you yeah. don't but you don't trust it. That's interesting. So like when she gets there and saves him, I'm gonna agree with Randy that the sort of the concept is not great because it's just cheap, right, to have somebody last minute save you. But I will give this director credit for how that was handled sort of visually and sort of, you know, tonally, because when she shows up and all those lights shine and then he kind of fades out and then fades in, he's in the car and there's somebody clearly talking to him, but he can't see who it is. Like there's a stretch there. He's bleeding bad, all this stuff. He's all just delirious and wakes up on the couch later. That stuff between the attack and the couch, I thought was kind of well done. It made me forget how annoying
it was. I know, Scott, you struggle sometimes with generic theming, but this movie really steers hard into the darkness and the light, and these themes keep coming in over and over, and they come suddenly. Lights come out of the darkness quickly, and darkness seems to fall very fast. Like, not like in reality, you don't usually have the sun like careening down toward the horizon, but this movie does. And you're supposed to get these feelings like there are things that are in the sun and things that are in the night. And like, so when the woman saves him at the last second, she saves him along with a really bright light in your face. Mm-hmm. And when he goes to sleep, that we're back in some darkness, and then he's waking up, it's bright again. Like, this movie really wants you to get that there is a theme here.
Well, they even pound it down your throat with actual dialogue and say, bring darkness and or light to the darkness, or whatever the hell it was. Repeating. And so for sure, that's the Minority Report rain level dark and light going on
symbolism
in this movie. But I guess on the whole, it's just hard for me not to like it. And I think it's just because I'm the lone survivor trying to figure shit out, kind of losing it, is totally my jam. I don't know why. Like, wait, I'll tell you what scares me. You know what scares me? The scenes where everyone's crammed up against the dock trying to get off the island, get on the last trip out. That scares me. That freaks me out. It gives me total claustrophobia and makes me want to just run for the hills. What doesn't freak me out is a barren city overrun with wildlife and just one guy trying to navigate it. That's not scary. That's kind of awesome because there's a weird relief in like that reset, you know, like there's a humanity's it's like humanity's reset and you just start over and that's just how it is. Like there's no, all you got is apparently some electricity because no one shut it off and a copy of Shrek and you're just out there doing your thing and there's some corn growing in the freaking, you know, Central Park and got to go pick that because it's Tuesday.
I really appreciated that this movie explained some of that stuff. Like you got a good long shot of this bank of generators he has and you got an explanation of how he has to shut everything down at night. He doesn't want to generate sound that they could follow.
No, that whole scene of like, you know, Bob Marley's still playing on the thing. He's just finished giving the dog a bath and he's got to shut the place down. It's like, and the happy Bob Marley, don't worry. It's, you know, everything's going to be all right. And he's like having to shut these giant iron doors on everything.
Yeah, it was great. It's very discordant.
That was fun.
Really
that
good. Fun. And him but curled up in the tub with the dog is great. It's just good.
That was great. And also the problem that I had with, like, they didn't explain that part. I'm like, okay, he's in the tub. I get the emotion and the feeling. It's like, okay, this is the only place I can feel safe. But then the next scene, he wakes up in bed. I'm like, wait a minute. He was in the tub.
Yeah,
what
he
happened?
Did. He wandered out of there.
Why wouldn't you just sleep? You've got everything locked up. Why wouldn't you just sleep in a bed?
Well, he was like, you know, 40 when this movie was made or something. Maybe he was feeling a little cranky in the middle of the night.
Will
Smith,
for me, was phenomenal in this movie. I loved his performance.
I think he's good, but I don't like some of the reliances on the Will Smithiness of him. And what I mean by that is most of it's fine. Great performance, very emotional. I think I totally bought into it. But then once in a while,
what the hell are you doing out here, Fred?
Yeah, they'd bring some like Fresh Prince stuff out, and you'd be like, okay, him trying to sing the song to the girl in his dumb voice, or just a couple of jokey moments where it's just a Will Smith nod and not the character. I wasn't down for that as much. I mean, it's fine, but it's whatever.
Right. I feel like it's how Will Smith would act if Will Smith was really the last man on earth. I think he would still do that.
I know this is like a non-thing, but I just laughed my ass off when he decided to sing I Shot the Sheriff, and he started above the top highest register. And I'm like, if anybody was going to, I'd be like, I shot the sheriff. Right. Like, you would sing it in your register. Yes, you wouldn't sing it so high. I don't know why he did that. It was like a little
And then he has
thing.
To go higher for the...
It's so stupid. I actually liked the Will Smithiness. Like, those were the moments, him in that video store, because like, I know me, I would have just relocated all the videos to my house. Right. I wouldn't be going through the ritual. Mm-hmm. And so then the fact that he not only goes through the ritual and walks over to the counter, but he put mannequins everywhere like that. I don't know, that felt to me like it put something in the movie.
I loved his reverence for society that he kept. I thought that was fantastic.
Right. Yeah, not just a reverence for society, but also discipline. The trivia says that he like talked to prisoners about how you deal with being in solitary and how you deal with being alone. And they said, oh yeah, the key is to have an absolute rigorous schedule and just stick to it. And so that explains, like, all right, I'm going first stop video store, and I'm going to get another copy of Shrek and memorize the words. And then we go over here and, you know, I'm going to hang out at the dock with my carefully organized desk and laptop and phone and all that stuff.
Yeah. Which it's great. But then I have to call BS on him waiting till the last minute. Like, his alarm gets him back home just at sunset. No one would have those margins. You would be headed home at 2 p.m. every day. You wouldn't want to risk it. You wouldn't want to risk a flat tire, you know?
Yeah, I would have put more space between.
I'd get up a lot earlier and do stuff. Like, as soon as sun's up, that's my time.
Yeah,
I'm starting to do stuff.
I do like the idea that when he was caught in the trap and it knocked him out, right. I like the idea that a bunch of time passed and there's just zip he can do about it. Like, that's a pretty effective thing. And I remember being, well, the first time and this time, just so frustrated with that. I was like, oh my gosh, that would suck so bad because you're waking up and now the sun's almost down and the dog's still barking and you're screwed, dude. Right. How are you going to get out of this? Like, it really, that whole scene really affected
me. I kind of love hate in movies. This is a great example of, but wait, there's more. And it just kind of keeps going downhill. Every time you think it can't get any worse, it gets a little worse.
Yeah.
And there's never anything that ever pulls you out of it. Dante's Peak did a really good part of that too. But this movie is really good at that.
Yeah.
Taking you down and down and down.
I mean, this movie's in a certain category for me. And that's the same category inhabited by, and not just because there's zombies in it, but World War Z is this movie. Tonally, like, it's just kind of the same idea. There's more people in it, obviously, but it hits all the same notes for me, and I'm 100% cool with this category. Like, I don't have a problem. And then they're usually PG-13, but they push the limits a little bit, and you know, it's a kind of movie, I guess. If this movie had gone hard R, I don't know what that would look like. I don't know. I would maybe like to see what that is, because I like my genre unflinching. I don't like it when they do it with velvet gloves.
I liked it. I liked that they kept Will Smith respectable because he tried to respect society. He tried to be more, I don't know, he tried to keep reverence for it, just to you know, keep things cool, you know, and he was always by his morals, and he stayed in the city no matter what. And I'm like, leave the city already.
Yeah.
This is what got us in trouble. Take that jet, fly around for a little bit, figure it out.
Yeah. How pissed off you'd be if, oh my gosh, now I'm thinking about it, it's going to annoy me. But when the helicopter comes crashing into the helicopter full of his family, I would be so pissed at the a-holes that were just hanging onto the edge of the helicopter that made it do what it ended up doing.
Oh, of course.
But then I'd be even madder at myself. Because I guess the daughter would have still died, but she'd still be there if they didn't do the second scan.
Right.
Just so frustrating. That's why I hate the crowd part and where society breaks. It's when society's breaking down, I want nothing to do with
mob, right. Yeah. Turns into mob rules and riots and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, I want to be out there with my dog and my gun. That's cool. I'll do that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I had forgotten a lot of things in the movie, and when I was watching it this time, I was like, oh, why would he do something so stupid as to follow that dog into the dark? I'm like, just let it go. I'm like, forget it. Goodbye, dog. It was nice having you. But then when I remembered, oh, yeah, or when I was reminded, oh, this was the dog that his daughter gave him when it was a puppy. And it's like, oh, this is way more important than just some stupid dog.
Yeah. The last connection that he basically has. Right.
Yeah, it's the only other life that he knew.
And I wish I hadn't ever seen the movie before, because having seen it even one time years ago, I wasn't shocked when he stops calling the dog Sam and starts calling the dog Samantha. I was expecting it. Mm. And like, that's I don't know how this movie does it, but that's such a moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's little things like that you got to give it credit for.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I agree. In the connection of, you know, the little girl saying, you know, Sam, go with dad, keep dad safe or whatever. And then the dog, it's a little over the top, but the dog literally saves him twice from those freaking burly dogs.
Right.
And ends up, you know, sacrificing itself in the process. And is still like, it's got to be one of the top 10 saddest animal death things in the history of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Smith holding him and singing the song and slowly talking him to death.
I have a question. So this is about Netflix. I want to know. So at the end of this movie, Netflix says, "Oh, you just watched I Am Legend. Here's what else you should watch: Zombieland. Okay, got it. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Train to Busan. Yeah. Okay, I got it.
Oh, makes that's sense. A great one too. Yeah. By
okay,
the way.
Yep. and then it's like, or maybe Hot Fuzz. Wait, what? Right. Why am I watching? Why is Hot Fuzz?
I think they're doing that because the other movie, the Shaun of the Dead, is no longer streaming. So they're like, well, what's close? Okay, here's the other Simon Pegg movie.
Oh, that's weird. I didn't think of that.
I got one. It said, you might like Extinction, a Netflix original. It started showing the trailer almost right away, but it's got, it looks like actually something I kind of want to watch. Yeah. It's like, okay, you kind of maybe nailed it.
They do that. They get me with that stuff. Not always, but usually they get me with that stuff.
Yeah.
Here's another question.
Yeah.
When I looked up Zombieland, when I looked up I Am Legend, and it lists a bunch of movies, right? Because it's like, it doesn't want to just show you one result, it shows you many. Mm-hmm. Many of them are Pineapple Express and The Interview and other Seth Rogen things. Why is it showing me Seth Rogen movies when I look up I Am Legend?
No, that's weird. I'm going to look, I'm going to do this.
He also has that one movie where the world ends, right? But
right,
that's right. Okay, all right. You're helping.
Which I think is called The End of the World. Okay. Is that right?
End of the World. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So when I do it here are the top results when I search for I Am Legend. I get I Am Legend. Then I get Bright. Then I get Bright. That's another Will Smith movie. Legion.
Mm-hmm. Got that one.
Will Smith in 7 Pounds. How It Ends. Extinction. Fifth Element. Walking Dead. Z Nation. Day of the Dead. Black Summer and The Silence. Those
I think
are all
we've just
ones.
Revealed that I watch too much crap.
Yeah.
Like I watch too much. I watch too many. I've probably watched The Interview 7 times. And it's like, I think you're looking for this. I think this is what you want.
Oh, you know what? It did put in Observe and Report, which is that.
Oh, yeah.
Seth Rogen.
But that's not, it's not a horror movie, is it?
That's his Paul Blart.
It's well thing. On the surface it is, and then it turns into something a lot darker. Like he's the creepy stalker, bad dude. Like it's
what is that movie? What like what genre is it in?
It's
they don't know.
It's the comedian who is trying out his drama chops kind of thing, like Jim Carrey in the Truman
Show. Don't say
Show.
Cable Guy. Okay, good.
Yeah, or Adam Sandler and. What the heck is that movie?
I don't know.
The Adam Sandler thing where he's got
the cobbler.
He's like dang it, Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah. Or is it like a serious actor guy in that?
Yes, exactly. So what that's the genre.
Yeah.
What was the Will Ferrell is an OCD guy who brushes every times?
Right. Fiction,
Stranger than Fiction.
There you
Stranger
go.
Than fiction.
Right. Nailed it. Ooh, there's some creepy stuff in here. All right, I'm going to stop looking.
Yeah, browsing Netflix is as entertaining as watching things on Netflix.
It can be. Yeah.
I think at some point we do need to kind of take a look at a Netflix original for a film sack. Like Extinction might be a good one, or Black Summer, or I'm just looking at these.
Well, that was a TV show, but it's Black Summer, by the way, is awesome. I watched the whole thing. I binged it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It's great. It's supposed to be a prequel to Z Nation, which I think is cheesy and dumb. The Z Nation is. I've watched 2-3 episodes and did not like it. And it's long canceled, so I don't know what the deal is with that thing. But the this is supposed to be the sort of prequel to that, and it's great. I thought Black Summer was rad. Totally got into it. Still pretty new. I think that thing's only like 3-4 weeks old or something. You guys should check it out. It's only like, I don't know, 8 episodes, and it's good. If you like zombie genre fiction, it's good. If you don't like zombies, don't watch it, because it's all about zombies, it turns out. Well, anyway, so the trivia I pulled for this thing, it's a little bit weird. Will Smith grew so enamored with his canine co-star, Abby, that was the name of the dog, that he tried to adopt her when filming was finished, and the dog's trainer wouldn't do it. So I just love this idea of like, come on, I'm rich Will Smith. I got all the money in the world. Welcome to Earth. Here's my money. And the dog trainer's like, no, it's my freaking dog. No, I don't care if you're Will Smith. I'm keeping the dog. I thought that was all right. Also, when he sees that mannequin and yells at him and says, Fred, what are you doing out here, Fred? For a second, it looks like Fred's head turns. That's because, well, you're supposed to think that it's Will Smith losing his mind, and it works that way.
Right.
But
right.
it's because for a second, they did replace the mannequin with a mime and had him do move. That. So, moving around, like kind of just barely, just enough. Like those dudes on the street that are all colored in silver that are supposed to be holding still.
Right.
It's like that. Those give
me there's nothing scarier than Mr. Mime.
Yeah.
Right. If we've learned anything from the Detective Pikachu trailer.
Right. That's right. Hey, how pissed would you guys be if you've been broadcasting for over 1,000 days and going back to that port every day? And then the one day you don't go.
Right.
One day you don't go.
The one time.
Some lady shows up
with
a kid. Who does he ever talk?
Nope.
I was watching. I'm like, does this kid ever say anything, Ethan? And I wouldn't doubt it because Will Smith, he's blowing up stuff around him.
He screamed a little.
I can't hear.
He does in, it's funny, in the alternate version, he does because he says, they're coming. Like when, when they're upstairs in that bedroom that they were hiding underneath the dresser.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that dude in the ceiling. Once they get rid of that guy, the kid says, they're coming or something like that.
Right.
And it seemed really like, oh, that's the first thing you say in this movie?
Yeah.
Well, there's a hole in the roof. Why are you so mad at the ceiling? Are you letting people in or subhumans?
Yeah, what
they
was
are
he doing? Is he digging for where they might be hiding? Because how are they going to get
know.
Up there?
Is he making a hole for the other
he's
people?
He's making a
to
hole
come
for
in?
The other ones. Yeah, the other ones to come in. Yeah.
Hadn't thought of that. That's possible.
Right.
Well, here's the other interesting bit. The studio spent an estimated $5 million for six night shoot in New York City. So $5 million bucks to do it. This involved the Brooklyn Bridge. To do that location, they needed the approval as many as 14 government agencies. The shoot required a crew of 250 plus 1,000 extras, including 160 National Guard troops in full gear. That's pretty insane. And there was all this stuff about him constantly apologizing to New York City and its citizens for shutting down roads and and so they had to do a lot of stuff like late at night on a Sunday and things like that to just try to minimize the impact. But it does feel like the kind of thing, if you filmed it today, you might film it all in Georgia and just fake all the buildings.
Yeah, which would I think the authenticity to this, I think it was totally worth it. I mean 6 days of bullshit for New York, sure, but hey, how many years we've got of this.
Yeah.
But they're going to do a whole bunch of digital post-processing on it anyway to like make the buildings look old and aged and some of them covered in tarps, which is really kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Tom Cruise thing we watched. Was it Vanilla Sky where?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Where he has that weird dream where he's alone in New York. Mm-hmm. And they basically had to close off Times Square for a day to film that.
Now, I wouldn't do that for Tom Cruise. No, that's crap. No,
yeah, you'd only do it for Will Smith. I see how you are.
Will Smith, yes.
You need this film to blow your mind with things like the post-apocalyptic Times Square because there just aren't other characters for him to talk to. So you don't have dialogue at all in the whole movie.
Yeah.
You do have him talking to his diary when he's doing science, which I kind of found. There's a bunch of tropes all wrapped up in all of that. He's talking to his diary while he's doing science. Mm-hmm. All the rats are attacking. But it's like, like for the most part, you need some other character. And the busted down New York City is it. And I was taken by it. I was all in on the busted down New York City. I never once felt like, oh, that's a bunch of, animation and someone painted that street, I felt like he was there.
Yeah, it really was effective. It looked like, I don't know if anyone's played The Division, especially the Division 1, which is set in New York in the midst of a virus. So it's kind of, in a lot of ways, I wonder if the game got inspiration from this, but it's the same thing, just dilapidated overgrowth of plant life because no one's taking care of anything. Those big, like you were saying, big tarps flapping over things as if they're, that's the only way they can keep them sealed up in the winter or whatever. Like that kind of stuff is so cool. And I think the movie was extremely good about nailing
that.
Yeah. And I loved it. The big broad shots of the city just made me want to go there. And there's something about an empty, like if I didn't worry about what Chernobyl was, and what it can do to human beings, because that place is supposed to be unlivable for 20,000 years.
Oh, wow.
Right.
The ground is that bad. But part of me wants to go there in a hazmat suit one day and just walk through what used to be like a city. Because yeah, right. That's basically the same thing. It's crazy.
I'm really excited about the new Chernobyl drama HBO series. Mm-hmm. It, by all accounts, it's the real deal. Mm-hmm. And I've studied Chernobyl a lot. Did you know that a couple of years ago they put a massive, like the biggest dome that's ever been built over the entire, former power plant?
No, I didn't. Explains what I saw yesterday. Yeah. The reason that I'm even thinking of this is I'm watching Our Planet on Netflix. Which is another of these David Attenborough documentaries. And one of the segments is about how wildlife has started to flourish there. And I saw in the background this crazy looking dome and I didn't know what it was. So, and they don't explain
it. It's not the largest dome ever built. It's the largest transportable dome ever built. So they had to build it half a mile away and then walk it. It had to go on rails into place. And it's just this, it's just really amazing. Like, how much of the steel that has come out of the crust of the earth went into this project, and like there's just a bunch of stuff. And I'm hoping the HBO series is more focused on back then, like the 80s. But I'm just like, this really cool thing happened in like 2017, and no one ever talks about it. So there needs to be that. We need a little documentary on that.
So that's that recent. They just did that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, that whole area fascinates me, but part the reason I think it fascinates me is because it's just this desolate nothing there and no one's there and there aren't gangs and there aren't holdouts. It's not that kind of thing. I like empty. The threat can be at night and can be zombies, great, but during the day I can go check out the video store, there's something about
why
that.
Why did you set that one mannequin up in the adult section and that was the only one he wanted to flirt with was the one that he had put everything in the trench.
I don't think she was really in the adult section because I was looking behind. It was like there was that Sigourney Weaver.
Her eye gaze were straight towards the porn.
Were they?
I didn't see. I couldn't tell. Like, oh, she's looking right at the porn.
I did not even see if there was an adult section. Was there really?
I couldn't tell. I did. Yeah. I saw a copy of Labyrinth back there. I saw one of the Chucky.
It's later on when he approaches. Samantha dies, then when he approaches her from the other side, we finally get a shot for what she's looking at, and she's looking straight over at the adult section.
Right. Did you see that Batman and Superman?
Yeah, everybody loved that.
No, I forgot to look for that. I
saw it.
I screen capped it somewhere here. I'll have to. Yeah. Where did I put it?
Near the beginning. Yeah, it's near the beginning when they're doing all the
right in the middle of Times Square.
Here it is. Yeah. I found it. I'll throw it into our little host group here, and you can see it.
Cool.
But
the thing I probably enjoyed, I really enjoyed the break we got with him being a single man for so long and then having to deal with a woman and a kid touching his shit. And I was saving that bacon, he totally flips his lid and I loved it. But you really see what a freak he is whenever he is word for word reciting Shrek along with the movie. That is just like,
yeah, it's weird. There's this piece of trivia that kind of cracks me up because it's not actual trivia. It's just a funny six degrees of separation kind of thing going on. But it says here, the film that Ethan is watching, Shrek 2001, Eddie Murphy, who provides the voice of Donkey in that movie, has starred opposite Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, in The Nutty Professor from 1996, the same year Will Smith did Independence Day.
Things were happening.
Yeah.
At the same time.
How is it possible? Anyway, but the big deal with that Batman Superman thing was this was 07 or sorry. 07. The rumor is that was a tease because this is Warner Brothers. Yeah. That was a tease for the Nicolas Cage thing. I don't know if that's true, but that's everything I can find on it.
Everything was in production hell for a long time there, even including this movie, which started in like 96 or something.
Yeah.
It saw several incarnations of scripts and everything else.
Director looks like Bradley Cooper, by the way. I don't know if anyone looked at that guy, but if you click on Francis Lawrence, who we know from doing all those Hunger Games movies, he also did Constantine, so we've had him on the show before. But if you look at his photo, Francis Lawrence looks like, in IMDb, he looks like Bradley Cooper in the Alias days.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. You have to click on it to see it, but it's weird. It's weird to me. He looks just like Bradley Cooper.
I love how Will Smith's character, Neville, in like when they're when he's really under attack and under siege near the when they when the night vampires, the dark seekers, discover his lair, and he's like he just totally doesn't even think about warning Anna or Ethan that he's about to blow shit up because he blew up half the street.
Yep,
and didn't even say boo to them. Just like good luck.
What's weird is in my timeline, I think of this movie before iRobot, and after what's the superhero one you did? Hancock.
Hancock. That was almost
in reality. iRobot was 2004. Hancock was a year after I Am Legend. So I've got it all mixed up in my head.
He filmed Will Smith filmed this on break from Hancock. So he was doing all kinds of depressing work.
Yeah, but he was buffed out. Like, my gosh, this was like peak Will Smith body time, man. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm really into that sort of thing, but you know what I mean.
Sure, why not?
Well, he's a good looking
man.
He was
an attractive man. He did good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
So, it definitely goes back as I thought more about it while we've talked about it. I didn't care for the scene where he was working out and doing the treadmill inside the house. I'm like, oh my gosh, you got the whole city. Why in the world would you be running on a treadmill? But then it's like, oh, the routine thing.
Yeah.
Right. And also you can do that a little bit on the edges of Twilight, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, so
before you get really scared and quiet, you can do that at home. But
having the dog do it is dumb though. Having the dog on his own treadmill.
Oh, that was so cute.
No,
though.
No.
No. Remember key step number 3, get a dog. Anyway,
you're in cardio.
I was really glad to see that he was like amazing with the pull-ups, like wow.
Yeah.
Because that informed later when he did some things he needed to do, like to live. He had to be able to do something that if you were strung up by 1 foot, I'm sorry, you're dead. All four of us, we're dead.
Right.
Yeah. There's no way I'm pulling that up. No way.
Yeah. But we were shown he was going to be fine.
Yeah. I might have landed. I might have landed better. I'm just going to throw that out there. Because
I don't know. That was that hurt.
Yeah. You toss your knife down first.
Yes.
Out of the way so that you don't land on it.
Yes. Like, yes. I don't care. You can do pull-ups all day, every day. 100 days away in a row, and you still need to have that knife idea in your head. Get rid of the knife when you're done. Yeah.
And then he had a boot. Then he had a butt scoot across the street. That was great.
Yeah, that was always good.
It's like, what are you doing? Go.
That's what the dog usually does. Butt scoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Butt maybe scoot. Will Smith had worms in that scene.
Doing scoots.
Do dogs? I'm going to show my ignorance here. I didn't Google it at all. I have no clue. I have a dog, but I don't really ever think about it. Should you force your dog? Should you force your dog to eat vegetables? I don't feed mine table. Tomorrow. Yeah, I don't feed mine table scraps. We just feed them, you know.
Well, you're not going to make him eat grains. His grains are bad. So,
if you look at the ingredients in the best dog foods, they have vegetables in there.
But what dog takes a big piece of cauliflower or a big piece of freaking broccoli and eats it? None of them.
My dog will absolutely. And like he loves carrots. He loves sweet potato. Like there's all kinds of vegetables that you can and should feed
him. He also loves his own poop, but we don't let him eat it. No, don't do it.
Lots of vegetables in those, turns out. But yeah, like
I already ate corn.
That's funny you bring that up. The dog reminded me of, I think both Hibbett and I both now have a dog who's very similar genetically to these this breed. I don't know if this dog was it a German Shepherd or something like that.
Definitely German Shepherd.
Yeah, German Shepherd.
And our dogs have German Shepherd in them. It's not full German Shepherd on my side, but that same dark muzzle, you know, the way the accents are, the eyes that are super expressive. Like the whole time I was like, oh my gosh, this is like Boomer. I was getting a little emotional about having a dog that looked just like Sam or Samantha. Right. We find out the girl dog. Right.
Was Samantha pregnant too? We're going to make this really super sad.
Yeah. Gonna have a litter of zombie puppies. Oh man.
Right.
Not good. Those rats were cool, though. They were cool.
Yeah.
No, they weren't cool. Those were a creepy, hairless rat.
And you notice they did the same elongated mouth thing with the rats, too. Like,
yeah. They did.
I wonder if Mike Patton did the rat noises.
Yeah. I hope so.
No, they brought Rat in for that. They let Rat do it.
Well done.
Yeah. See, there's my little music joke for today.
Good news. We cured cancer. Bad news. You're all dead.
Yep.
Oh yeah, let's actually bring up the very, very brief appearance cameo. Of yeah, a little cameo of
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson. Yeah. Yes, yep. At the very beginning there. Very interesting. Like, we just need you for like the first minute of this film and then you're right. Done. Mm-hmm. And
we're not even gonna give you the script. Whole... You're just gonna wing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as I know, she just sort of winged it. She that all sounded very legit, like it a real did, interview. Yeah. Yeah. I love the concept, and I would have enjoyed a little more world building there, like just kind of flesh some of that out and not just jump straight to the...
There apparently were plans for a prequel and a sequel to this, and it would have been interesting to see. I would have liked to have seen a prequel that does set up the world building for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could have been a good... Let's say this show came out in 20... this movie came out in 2015. I could see that kind of thing getting optioned for some streaming service as a series for a prequel or sequel. Just because that's how stuff gets done now. If something was popular, Netflix buys up the rights to a TV show, doesn't star Will Smith, but, you know, has whatever. Like, I could totally see that happening, and I would love that, but I feel like maybe where we're at now is if anyone ever does this again, it will be someone approaching the material again from a different angle, and there'll be a new movie in 10 years. With a different name.
I just want to say, everyone listening to my voice right now, you didn't watch Last Man on Earth and it got canceled. And then you all asked, I never even heard that existed. And it makes me so sad because Will Forte, Kristen Schaal, January Jones, and Mary Steenburgen were amazing.
It was a great show.
And you should have watched Last Man on Earth.
We watched the first several seasons. It was the last season. It was like, all right, this is just getting, it's so frustrating watching him accidentally sabotage.
I was the same way, and I enjoyed it much more when there were fewer people. It just seemed like it just kept having rotating cast of characters,
right, where they kept bringing people in.
I wanted that show to be him and maybe Kristen Schaal, and that's it. Like, just that the appeal of that was dark comedy and you're alone.
I don't know, four or five people stop right there, and then keep Mary Steenburgen and who played his brother? It was the guy from Saturday Night Live.
Will Forte. It was his bass. That was actually, Was it Will Forte?
No.
Will Forte was the main guy.
His brother.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying.
His
brother was, he's also on SNL though, or was?
Yes,
was.
They all were. And that's the beauty of the show was that they could discover another survivor and it would be Fred Armisen, you know?
and Will Ferrell, Will Ferrell was...
Oh,
that's interesting. SNL guys.
The guy everybody loved at the beginning.
They all got a couple of episodes. Like, Kristen Wiig got a couple of episodes, and then they cut her loose.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
I probably should just binge what's left.
I think three seasons was probably plenty enough of that idea. It was a great idea, and I enjoyed
Jason
the ride.
Jason Sudeikis, by the way. That's
Jason Sudeikis. And they were contemporaries. They were on SNL together, right? Him and Will Forte, yeah. I always get those guys mixed up all the time. Mm-hmm. Not their faces. They're just their names. Just I mix them up like a dumbass. I don't know why.
Right. But yeah, that's right. They brought in Martin Short. They brought in John Hamm, Laura Dern, Jack Black. Like half an episode. Just show up and they get shot or killed somehow accidentally.
I loved Laura Dern's seasons of SNL. She was amazing on there. So it wasn't all SNL people, obviously. What was January Jones doing? Was she just dead facing it like she does in everything else, or what was her deal?
You know what? This is probably my favorite thing that January Jones has ever done because it
It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah, I mean, because she's such a milk toast, or I don't know what the female equivalent of a milk toast is in Mad Men.
In this series, she just plays a normal person. She is the most normal person, and she's surrounded by people like Kristen Schaal as a horse, and it's like that makes January Jones seem really special. As a result, like, I'm telling you, right, there's someone listening to this episode of the show right now who has never even heard of this. Find Last Man on Earth. Watch the whole series. You'll be disappointed because it ends suddenly and got canceled, but it's so funny, and it's exactly what you should watch after you watch I Am Legend. Thank you very much.
Oh, I like this. This has been an important PSA. Well done. Do you guys want to do sound clips? I don't have a ton.
Oh my gosh, you got it.
All right, let's do them. I don't have a million.
A lot of Will Smith.
There is a lot of Will Smith because there's not a lot of people talking in this movie, but... Right. Anyway, we already heard this.
Why didn't you just eat your vegetables?
There it is, just on its own. All right, how about this? yelling at Fred.
The hell are you doing out here, Fred?
I like that. I'm going to use that for other stuff. I don't know what I'm going to use it for, but I'm going to use it.
No, a little bit. It'll definitely get some use.
I wrote this. I wrote no, 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 Will Smith with two F's.
Smith.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Because he was saying no, no, no. He oh, said that.
But why did I write Smith? I did it twice. I don't know what's wrong with
it. Typing's hard.
Yeah, it can be. All right. So here's the no, no, no.
No! No! No!
Yell yourself hoarse there, buddy.
No, no, oh. Fred. No, angry, Fred.
Angry Fred acting there. Yeah. Angry mannequin acting.
Freaking Fred. All right, and here he is. Now he's all crusty because he yelled too loud.
Damn it!
He's like, got no fuss.
Damn it!
It sounds like The Rock, doesn't it?
You gotta, damn it! You gotta use that. That damn it is perfect for TMS.
Oh, yeah. We'll find a place for it. I don't know where to use it, but we'll find it.
Maybe anytime someone, it'll replace car horn scream guy when somebody gets a Babel Royale wrong or something.
Now, the most convincing fear acting I saw in this movie was done by a dog, and it impressed me, and I recorded some of it because this is fear barking, and it really got me. Here you go. There's something about that pitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're barking like normal, but it's a little higher and it's desperate.
Get up,
and,
come on, yeah. Wake up.
I praised the movie for sound design. I was mad at the movie when the dog turns because the sound design was all wrong. It didn't sound like a dog that was in your lap. It sounded like a dog that was across the room and made of lions or something. It was horrible.
It was made of lions.
Made of lions.
I don't understand if the virus was airborne. Why didn't the dog get it before if he's susceptible to it?
They talked about that. There are two forms. Will Smith actually says out loud, well, I get the airborne and the touchy virus, but you only get the touchy virus, Mr. Sam.
Oh,
Rampa. Right.
Yeah, he gets it through. Dogs can only get through contact. And
They actually explained it and I missed that.
Yeah, Will Smith actually said it. Yeah.
Okay. While he's giving himself a shot, which I'm guessing was some sort of immunity booster kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no.
He was pulling.
He was drawing his own blood.
Oh, right. It was the blood.
That's where he was getting the proteins to start his research on.
Right, because he was doing the trap.
Yeah.
He was trying to catch himself an 18-year-old zombie. All right. Here's, I love that part where Big Mouth sticks his head out in the sun and holds it for a minute and is okay with getting burnt for a sec and staring him down. Oh, it's so good.
Big boss, the big bad.
Yeah. There's something about that moment just really sticks with me. All right. Will Smith scream. A little much.
Jeez.
You can really hear him standing on a soundstage back about 3 feet from the mic. You can. Like now that you isolate it like that.
Yeah.
You can imagine there's a guy in a booth looking at him at a big huge equalizer like you right.
Well, he's supposed to be in that alley space where there would be echo, and so if they did, they always do this stuff in post. But if they were doing that in that environment, it'd be perfect because you do want some echo. But you're right. Like if you can totally like.
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Wait, that's not it. Sorry. Yeah, so you get the echo off the walls and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible scream, though. I don't like it.
No.
Here's some Shrek quoting. I did about 30 seconds of this, so it's pretty weird. Here you go.
Yes, well, I was talking to you.
Can I just tell you that you was really great back then?
Those gods, they thought it was all that. Then you showed up and bam, they were tripping over themselves like babes in the woods. See that? That really made me feel good to see that.
Oh, that's great.
Man, it's good to be free. Now. Why don't you go celebrate your freedom with your own friends?
You know what I wish he'd have done is more Mike Myers role. Like he just did Eddie Murphy's. I want to hear like him try to do the Scottish thing.
Yeah, that's me at every movie I go to in the theaters. The person who sits next to me right there.
I was like, yeah, it's not you doing it. It's whoever's there
right,
with you.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Even at Endgame in Vegas, you had a little speaker talker guy next to you, right? And that happened.
That's right. Yes. He was all right. He's a frog pant. He's a tadpooler. It's fine. Yeah. I'll allow it.
He's a verbose tadpooler. All right. Still wasn't as bad as the lady who took our orders and then yelling out how sorry she was. Yes. That was stupid.
Exactly.
All right. Here's the I shot the sheriff thing.
I shot the sheriff. I shot the deputy.
Start lower.
What start, is wrong with you, Will Smith?
Start lower, man. Just lower.
Yeah.
Also, isn't the cover of that more popular than that one or something? But there's something, Brian, I was going to ask you about.
Well, Eric Clapton did a version of that, but he's talking about Bob Marley. He's got to do the Bob Marley version.
Oh, which is totally fine. I'm in my head. I feel like growing up, I didn't know there was a Bob Marley version until way later in life.
Yeah.
And the whole like the reggae part.
Yeah, it is way higher. The Bob Marley version is way higher than the Eric Clapton version.
Yeah, but he wrote it, or did Clapton write it?
No, Bob Marley wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to say they came out. It wasn't too long after the Bob Marley version came. Let's see. Bob Marley's was 73. Eric Clapton's was 74. I mean, it was a year apart, the original and the cover. But yeah, I mean, the Eric Clapton version was the one that did better commercially, or did better.
Sure. Did better commercially. Yeah, that's exactly right. Did better commercially.
Has anyone checked in on Ziggy lately? Let's just see how he's doing.
Oh, on Eric Clapton?
No, Ziggy.
Oh man, Ziggy Marley is my favorite.
There he is. He's fine. He's cool. He's 50. He's still living in Jamaica.
My favorite Marley.
Yeah. Of all the Marleys.
Jacob and
I thought it was weird that Will Smith meets a woman. She's never heard of Bob Marley, but she goes, "Damien?" Like, she's heard of Bob Marley's weird son, like the weirdest one.
Yeah. That's right. Weird. Not even Ziggy. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you said Jacob Marley. Points for that. Points.
Yeah. Well done.
It's not even Christmas time. You really nailed it there.
Right.
All right. Hold on. Where was I? Okay. We got one. I only have one more clip. Here it is.
On everybody, every single person that you or I has ever known is dead. Dead.
Would you love it if someone just got right in your face and yelled dead an
inch from
your face?
It's what Scott says during every movie that has a bunch of, like, every movie that came out before 1960.
I kind of do. I don't yell it in anyone's face, but I notice it every
time. Everybody in this movie is dead. Dead.
My wife's really getting sick of it. She's tired of me yelling that. All right. Well, that's all well and good. How about this? The Film Sack Checklist. This movie's full of zombies. Check, because they're kind of, you know, vampires and zombies.
Zombie-like.
There you go. Jimmy Longmouth and the Longmouthers. Check.
Sure.
And made me want to finally read the book this is all based on. Check. I do actually want to read it. I want to see what's up.
Yeah, did you pick this up free? I think we had talked about this before. I think I sent you the link.
Yeah, I think I did. I have it.
So you probably have it in your Kindle.
Yeah, I've got like somewhere. A Mobi version of it or something. Mm-hmm. And I haven't, I just have never read it. So I'm going to finally do that, I think. Let's see. Star Trek connections. There are a number of them, but not too many. Thomas W. Stewart. He was an infected, although I don't know how you'd know. Must have done mocap. In Star Trek Into Darkness, he played an Enterprise crew engineer. Richardson Whitefield played Zoe Neville. That's the wife, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
In DS9, played Sisko's love interest, Fina, in the episode Second Sight. I bet she has stories to tell. Yeah. And then finally, April Grace was a TV personality here. They interviewed what's her name at the beginning on TNG, played a transporter chief, Maggie Hubble, in 5 episodes. So there you go.
And then Will Smith's actual daughter was his daughter, right?
Is that really her?
Yes. Will Smith's actual daughter, Willow, is in the helicopter saying goodbye and crying. And it's like, that's a cool little slice of life to throw into this movie. Like, you get the real deal with that little bit.
It's better than, who's the other one? Who's the other kid that's so weird now?
Jaden.
Yes. He was in the other movie.
Yeah, they were in that together, right?
I just wish he had a cameo in this instead.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing is, Jaden was a little older and was too cool for school. Like, he wanted to be seen as cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought the weird little thing. I'll let you carry on.
Yeah. No, it's all good. Let's see. Where was I? Oh yeah. We now need to do the soundtrack. Great. I'd give it a G for good. It was fine. It did the job.
It was sparse. Like, there were parts where there was no soundtrack at all, no music at all, which I really like, actually, you know, felt solitude and lonely.
Yeah, it was real good. I like that quite a bit. let's do the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's do as tradition dictates and start with Randy.
I am legend. After sunset, lock yourself into this armored mansion that has lots of bacon and spaghetti sauce, and turn off all the lights and sounds and snuggle in the bathtub just like a Saturday night at Ivett's house.
Perfect.
You did it. You did it.
Kaboom. Next up, Brian Dunaway.
I am legend. Like someone saving your bacon 1 minute, then eating your bacon the next. I was saving that bacon, Anna. Hashtag, that was all the bacon.
Hashtag. Okay, gotcha.
He always remembers to put in the hashtags. Well done. You navigate your Twitter well. And finally, Brian Ibbett.
So this had nothing to do with the movie, but it made me laugh, so I'm making it my Twitter post.
Okay.
I am legend. Bump it up, bump, 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 bump.
All right, well, it made us all laugh, so nice job.
Our poor mind.
Nice job indeed. That was fantastic. All right, now's the time I push another button, right? Yeah. The alternate titles just handed to me. It was almost called The Less Than Fresh Prince. Or Welcome to Earth, Population Will.
Earth.
Earth. Quick email from Michael. His name is Keeper, is his nickname. Or no, that's his last name. I'm sorry. It's Michael Kepper from somewhere in Minnesota.
Oh, there you go.
He says, to Scott Johnson and the Film Sack crew, here is a great film you should review for Film Sack. It has time travel with H.G. Wells and murder with Jack the Ripper, as well as romance. In real life, H.G. Wells married an American girl. The 1979 film has big names with such as Malcolm McDowell, Mary Steenburgen, and Jack Warner. It was directed by Nicholas Meyer of Star Trek fame. Meyer also was a fan of the Sherlock Holmes stuff. I believe it holds up well with the passage of time. Love the Film Sack podcast show.
Is that Mike. Time After Time he's talking
it
about?
It is Time After Time.
Time After Time.
He never said the name, did he?
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't say the name. You're right. But I've never seen it.
That's a great movie.
Never seen it. No idea what I'd be getting into there.
So, I think that was the same week I was going through old movies, and I think I watched that and Soylent Green and Clockwork Orange.
A great cast. I mean, Malcolm McDowell as H.G. Wells, because he usually plays the bad guy, and here he's like the, you know, the wide-eyed good guy, Boy Scout kind of thing. It's really, really cool.
Do you think it's sackable though? Like,
oh yeah,
totally sackable. Absolutely.
Because they take themselves so serious in this movie. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Sacking. I'm in.
And it's got your sci-fi, but it's got your like, you know, fish out of water. H.G. Wells in the big city learning about New York from a city girl, Mary Steenburgen.
Weird.
It's perfect film sacker.
I've never even heard of it. Well, I guess I have heard of it.
And Bill Opera in the soundtrack, surprisingly.
Oh, well, all right.
That's too bad.
Came out about 10 years before that song did. So.
It's unfortunate. I always remember the time. What's the before? Not Land Before Time.
You're talking about the one with Christopher Reeve.
Yes. Yes.
What the heck was that called? Somewhere in Time.
Somewhere in Time. Yeah, somewhere my in mom's time. Favorite movie. She watched that over and over and over. She loved it.
Yeah, it was a Fabio romance cover novel book. romance yeah. book right come to life.
Not into it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to be like
why is Superman playing this crap?
You what now? What'd you say? Oh, Superman, yeah. Well, because
yeah,
that
I
was,
turned it.
Was
I
it,
remember that.
Was it post-Superman or before that? Probably after,
post
right?
Superman.
It was it was post because it was a couple years after Superman, I think. And I remember getting so excited because I was, you know, it's like, oh, look.
Oh, Superman's in Superman. This and he's a time traveler. And, oh, what cool. is this?
Yeah, this is a lady movie.
Rip bodices and bustiers. What's going on?
I've never seen an actual ripped bodice in real life. Has anyone ever seen?
Me neither.
Yeah.
No.
It's unfortunate.
No, they hold together real well.
Do they?
They make them really well these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like the old days where they just fell apart. Right. If you want to send an email in like Mike, you can. Filmsack@gmail.com is that email address. You can also send us voicemails. I actually have a few in waiting. I just haven't gotten to make sure they're ready for the show. But they can be sent to 801-471-0462, and we'd love that. Our next film is what? I don't know.
Surprise. It's Into the Blue. That would be the Paul Walker, Scott Kahn, Josh Brolin film that you probably remember because it had a trailer of Jessica Alba's butt.
Oh,
butt.
Right.
Into the Blue. Mm. It's about a group of divers who find themselves in conflict with a drug lord after they go diving and find some illicit cargo. Yeah, we've been like, this has been on our list for a very long time. It's streaming on Netflix. We're going to watch it.
All right.
I'm going to guess, I've never seen this, and I'm going to guess the drug lord is played by a somebody who's trying to be Colombian, who is not Colombian born.
I'm going to give you some names of people in this movie, and you can figure it out.
Which one is the drug lord? Yeah.
Right. So Josh Brolin is in this movie. James Frain is in this movie. Tyson Beckford is in this movie.
Okay.
So you just think about that. I really like the idea though that the bad guy in this movie might be Thanos. It just might be Thanos.
Oh, might be Thanos. All right.
I like James Frain though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think who James Frain is for some reason.
He is bit actor. I want to say he was in clean cut guy, but kind of goofy looking. He was in you didn't watch Gotham. He was in Gotham for quite. I think he was Ra's al Ghul in Gotham.
No.
It was a different guy. It was Ra's al Ghul. He was something in Gotham.
He really sent me down a good path.
I'm selling this guy a lot. He was in the Tudors.
My favorite underrated adventure movie ever, Count of Monte Cristo. He was the bad, the original bad guy who sets everything into motion.
Oh, I know who it is now. Okay. No, I like that movie too. That movie's great. You're talking about the Guy Pearce one, right?
He's Sarek in Star Trek Discovery.
That's right.
He's Sarek. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Now we know. Oh, I do love that guy.
Yes.
He's great.
He always plays the kind of creepy bad guy. He's the drug lord. He's going to be the drug lord, isn't he? Please tell me he's the drug lord.
Yeah.
I don't know. Awesome. We don't know yet, but I know Star Trek Discovery is Game of Thrones in space.
Mm. Well, can be. He was Thomas More in the Tudors, which is great because he became a saint in the he was a jackass in that show, but in the lore or in the real world he became a saint, and this is why it connects to me. There is this church down the street from where I lived called the Saint Thomas More Chapel, and that's where we would take girls to make out with. In the parking lot of the St. Thomas More Chapel Church place.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was great.
We would take girls. We would take girls. That sounds terrible. That's like the
Well, I would drive a girlfriend there. How about that?
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, if you rage quit Netflix this week because they went up a dollar on your fee, you can still watch this with ads Into the Blue on YouTube and Tubi and Vudu, all with just a few ads for free.
What the hell is Tubi? Ooh. Tubi?
Tubi.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's Tubi.
It's probably Tubi, but I like to call it Tubi.
Yeah.
Tubi.
I like to call it Tubi. All right. I like it. Anyway.
Tubi Chaser.
Yeah, sure.
That's right.
So that's next week. That's Into the Blue. That's Jessica Alba's hindquarters on display quite prevalently, if my memory serves.
Just in the trailer, apparently. It's too much.
Yeah,
they did it wrong.
Too much. I can't take it.
How old is that movie? Is that 90s? No.
2005.
Okay.
Here's a good description of the movie. Pecs and bikinis rule as Jessica Alba and Paul Walker search for undersea treasure. That's all you need to know.
Pecs and bikinis rule? Really?
Pecs and bikinis rule.
Wow. All right.
Look at them pecs. We were more into pecs in 2005 than abs, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now it'd be all like abs and bikinis rule.
Yeah. Good point. Well, I look forward to the day that I'm subject to King Bikini and King Abs. That's two kings, King and Queen. Sorry. Anyway, hey, we're done. That's the show. Filmsack.com is our website. And like I said before, send us emails, filmsack@gmail.com. Join us next week for Into the Blue. And between now and then, follow us on Twitter. We are @FilmSack. And you can leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. That'd be wonderful. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Brad!
Brad? Wait, what was his name? Fred.
Fred.
Oh, all right. I thought he said Brad.
Check out the big plastic brain on Brad.
Exactly. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Damn it!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky smooth Tree Runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Dasher, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds tree shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of Tree Dashers, Runners, Pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.